RadioInfluence.com.
When you are looking for the best Bucs coverage, why not go to someone who's actually been on the field?
B-U-C-C-A-N-E-E-R-S. Go Bucs!
This is the only podcast for the Buccaneers by a Buccaneer. You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to In the Trenches. This is Ian Beckles. Fine Tuesday morning. Normally, we do the In the Trenches on Mondays after a Buccaneer loss on Sunday. But today, we're going to do it on Tuesday after a Monday night Buccaneer loss. Now, you know, I'm kind of out of sorts a little bit. I work at 5 o'clock in the morning on 102.5 The Bone from 5 to 6. So when there's a Monday night game that goes on till midnight-ish, kind of screws up my whole sleeping pattern. So I fell asleep in the middle of that game, woke up, watched it at night, and I watched it again this morning. To be honest with you, I thought the Bucs were going to get beaten by 30 points last night. Literally. I actually had some money saying that they were going to lose by 30 points. I thought they were going to get trounced. Like, I didn't see any equation that made me think that the Buccaneers were going to win that game yesterday. And you know what? They came out. They fought. I thought they played hard. They don't always play well. They don't always play hard. But I thought they played hard yesterday. I don't know if it was because they're on Monday night and they're embarrassed to be 4-9, but I thought the guys were out there fighting for Dirk Koetter, which was awesome. You know, I don't know what the feeling is in the locker room. I thought it was great to see Jameis come out and support his coach. There's been all this crap going on between the relationship between Dirk Koetter and Jameis Winston. I've said before on this show, it doesn't matter. They don't have to love each other. They don't even have to like each other. They just have to respect each other, and they'll be fine. If they both want to win and they both respect each other, they'll be fine. Now, I've been on teams before where the quarterback did not respect the offensive coordinator, and it didn't turn out fine. One of them had to go. It was that was definitely the case here with Sam Weich and Trent Dilfer. I was there in the locker room. It was very clear that Sam Weich and Trent Dilfer did not get along. I didn't forget about not getting along. They hated each other, and that's a problem when one guy's the offensive coordinator and the other guy's the quarterback. That's a problem. And I saw it unfold right in front of my eyes, and lo and behold, Sam Weich gets fired. That's the way it goes. Unfortunately for Dirk Koetter, you want to say you're Jameis' boss, but you ain't. Because if Jameis goes up the top to the front office, his face is still on the side of that stadium. And from what I saw yesterday, and I said for the first time in Jameis Winston's career, you know, he has pressure to perform. He's always been the man, always. He's always won. Yesterday, I saw a competitor. I saw a football player that you could build around. I questioned it earlier in the season. And they were showing it a little bit on television yesterday. They were showing Jameis's arm before his AC joint injury, and they were showing it afterwards. He had a dead arm. I mean, you could tell he made some of the throws early in the season, and later in the season, he didn't have the zip. I mean, his release was different, and the velocity was different, trajectory was different, the whole nine yards. So I thought Jameis looked pretty darn good yesterday, considering, you know, something still has to happen before the end, but when the season's over. It's not just going to be, we are 4-12, we're okay for next year. That can't happen. I don't think Buccaneer fans want that. So something is going to have to happen. Whether it's going to be Koetter, whether it's going to be Jason Light, I don't know. It ain't going to be Jameis, because there's been people asking for that. That ain't happening. There was people wanting Ryan Fitzpatrick to stay in there. Obviously, you don't know much about building a football team, because that's not how you build a football team. But I was happy to see the Buccaneers go out there and fight. That's one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum is, am I giving them credit for fighting at the end of the season at home against Atlanta when we thought this was going to be a playoff team? If you're a playoff team, you got to win your NFC South games at home. That's what has to happen. And they lost yesterday, could have won. I never say should have won. whoever has the most points at the end of the game, that's the team that should have won. They could have won. But they're still doing things like, you know, giving up 200 yards rushing. Still can't really rush the passer. Gerald McCoy is out. I didn't think they looked any different. I thought they looked exactly the same. They hit the quarterback the same amount of times. They got about the same amount of sacks. They got one sack. You know, they had 17 sacks going into 13 weeks, and they got one sack. I mean, that's even above average. So I didn't think they lost a step there. Losing Lavonte David, that I think that hurts. That loses some speed. I thought the defense played really aggressive yesterday. I hadn't seen the Bucs defense hit like that in a long time. I thought I saw Conti coming down hitting some folks, which is nice to see. You don't always see that. I thought Quan Alexander was a beast. Quan Alexander was all over the place, and you heard him coming with his fresh Jason Hallfish, John Gruden shoes on. Those were fresh. They really were. Jason Hallfish, that's my people, by the way. Now, the whole thing going into the game was Gruden versus Cutter, and everybody wanted to make a big deal of it. You know, I thought John Gruden kind of came in here, showed some class, you know, did his thing and left, and I thought that was great. It's great for John Gruden, who was doing Monday Night Football and coming back to your old stomping grounds, who and seeing some of the old school players, you know, Sapp and Lynch and Brooks, Mike Allstott, I saw all those guys there, Brad Johnson. Those guys love to get back together and tell old stories as well. But it was good to see, you know, kind of remember what the Bucs used to be, because what they are is a team that's lost 10 straight years. And the Buccaneers are able to go 10 years without winning often, more often than a lot of teams. When you look at teams like, you know, the Steelers and the Ravens and even Carolina Panthers, boy, Panthers aren't as old as those other teams, but you know, they don't go a bunch of years losing. Boy, the Bucs are able to put a long string of losing seasons together. And as Buccaneer fans, I think we're kind of getting used to it, and that's not a good thing. But to be 4-10 on a football team that we all believe was going to be 10-6, there's a lot of wrong that went on this year. And at the end of this season, I'm not sure we're just going to be able to put our finger on it and say that's the problem. And I think that's bad. If you say at the end of this football season, what happened? Say the Bucs go 4-12, and you're a Buccaneer fan. I have to ask you, what happened? There's not really an easy answer. There really isn't. Sometimes it's like, okay, our defense, we have to shore up our defense. Or we need more weapons. Or we need a pass rush. Or we need to run the ball better. I could keep on going, and the Bucs really need all of that. Every last bit of it. We need to strengthen both of our lines. Now, as Buc fans, we say this crap every damn year. Well, in the offseason, we'll go get a pass rusher. You think that's easy to go get a pass rusher? In the offseason, I pleaded the Buccaneers to go get Calais Campbell. I'm going to keep on bringing that one up because there's not enough money in the world that is too much for Calais Campbell. Not enough, I'm telling you. 13 sacks, that defense, when you watch Jacksonville play, they play real mad. And they play real mad from the inside out, and that starts with Calais Campbell. 13 sacks, crazy disruption. They have 58 sacks for the year. That might have been before the game, I'm not sure. But Jacksonville is breaking hats and knocking people's blocks off. Bucs have 18 sacks. 18 sacks in 14 games. That's not acceptable by any means. You're lucky if you're 4-10 if you have 18 sacks in 14 games, seriously. So I don't know where the issue is. I wish I did. And maybe we need to bring in somebody who knows where the issue is, because I'm not sure they understand or they know what's going on at One Buc Place either. You know, it's got to be weird to come in there at One Buc Place even on this Tuesday after fighting. Nobody thought they were going to win that game. After fighting hard and then still coming up with a loss. You shouldn't be happy with yourselves. You guys just lost at home in front of everybody. Represented yourself fine, but you still lost at home, and you have to understand that. Like, they were showing some statistics, and you wonder why we've had a losing season. You know, I just praised Jameis, and I thought Jameis played fantastic. Considering there wasn't a whole lot of protection, I thought Jameis's legs were fantastic. I thought his decision-making was fantastic. And I just thought he was a difference maker. If not for him, we would have lost that game by 20 points easily. So I thought he was a difference maker yesterday. That being said, throughout the season, there's times where I thought Jameis was the issue. Now, look at some of these statistics that they came up with Jameis during before the game. Jameis passing over 20 yards. 20 yards is not that far in a lot of people's worlds. Like, to Tom Brady and Drew Brees, 20 yards is not that far. They complete a lot of passes that distance. Jameis passes 20 yards or more, completion percentage, 27%, which is 31st in the NFL. You don't have to look at the statistics. That's not good enough, obviously. 27%. Yards per attempt, 8.6 yards. You know what that's ranked? How many teams are in the NFL, by the way? 32? Yards per attempt, 8.6 yards, 33rd. That means there's a backup quarterback with more. That's not good enough. Total QBR, 31st or 31, which is 34th. His QBR of passes 20 yards or more is 31, which makes him 34th in the NFL. Once again, two backups have better numbers. So some of the blame has to go to Jameis. Some of the blame has to go to the injury of Jameis. Now, when you have an injury to your quarterback, and we've seen this along the league, if you have a quarterback with injury or you have a backup quarterback, what has to happen is everybody around him has to step up. And that hasn't happened this year. That hasn't happened this year. Doug Martin, you can go back and listen to the first In the Trenches if you want to. I'm the first person to say Doug Martin is the most overrated player we got. He was a healthy scratch. Don't know why. I don't really care. Supposedly there's some kind of club rules that he didn't deal with. And I've heard stories of Doug Martin that in the clubs at Friday night acting a fool, like really acting a fool. You know, those things aren't all conducive to victory. At the beginning of this season, he was supposed to be a changed man, and we've seen all these types of stories about him riding his skateboard and how he's this and he's that and how he's cleaned his act up. I think he's the same player. And the player itself, to me, is average to below average. I think Peyton Barber's a substantially better running back at this point. And I don't know why they kept on feeding Doug Martin anyways. I don't think Doug Martin really has a future here with the Buccaneers. I think he's done. Running back, you've heard me. I don't give a crap who our running back is. I really don't. There's not that many special ones around. And if they are special right now, enjoy them because they're going to go away. They really are. Like this kid Kamara from the Saints, that's a special cat. Enjoy him. 2 years from now, you won't be talking about him anymore. That's just the way it goes. They go away. They go away. There's only a handful of special running backs that play every game, and that makes you special. Playing every single game makes you special. Leonard Fournette plays half the games, and they're still winning football games over there in Jacksonville. You know, as far as the offensive line goes, I thought they were average running the ball yesterday. Pass blocking, below average. Now that's a good rushing Falcons team. They're not outstanding. They're good. Jameis just didn't have the time. And a lot of times the plays that Jameis made yesterday or last night were ad lib. And I think that's where Jameis is at his best. Where Jameis is at his best is when he's climbing back up into the pocket, you know, getting himself a little extra time. And that's how a lot of quarterbacks excel. I thought the difference in the game yesterday was Matt Ryan's legs. I don't remember Matt Ryan as being a really running type quarterback. I know he's a good athlete. But he ran himself out of trouble a good half dozen times yesterday, whereas the Bucs had him all hemmed up and he made some plays. And, you know, going back looking at that game, Matt Ryan, 17 for 31, 212 yards, he wasn't the difference. Julio Jones, 3 catches, he wasn't the difference. Sanu, 2 catches. The Bucs gave up 200 yards rushing. Freeman, 5.7 yards a carry. Eesh, that's not winning football in any era, any level. If you give up 5.7 yards a carry, you're going to lose. That's it. Now, it's hard to put my finger on the issue with our Bucs offense. I don't know. I'd have to sit down and really break down film almost with somebody who knows what the hell they're doing as far as play calling, progressions, because it just looks off. And I've said that this year before. But to be in a game where we just lost by a field goal to a better team, and, you know, DeSean Jackson had one catch for 11 yards. I would never have thought that it could even happen with a healthy-ish DeSean Jackson came out the game for a little bit. O.J. Howard, one catch for 30 yards and one touchdown. Maybe a couple more targets would be nice. Somehow, I don't know. He got banged up a little bit. Hey, it's the 14th week of the season. Everybody's banged up. I mean, you got to tape yourself up in the 14th week of the season. That's everybody on the other side's banged up. You're banged up, and you're just trying to figure out a way to get through this whole damn thing. So I don't know what needs to happen for this offense to start clicking again. And yesterday, like, I don't know if that was the offensive fault. I don't know if the defense's fault. I just think that's what they are. And I think that's scary. If we were talking about the Bucks being playing a good game, and I think if you're a Bucks fan, you got to almost be happy with the way they played yesterday. But that just means they're not good enough. That means that when their kicker made a 57-yarder, our kicker doesn't make the kick. I mean, that's the difference between winning and losing. Matty Ice, who, by the way, let's stop calling him Matty Ice. Let me tell you, someone who has a nickname Ice doesn't lose in a Super Bowl up 25. Doesn't happen. Take the ice off. That's Matt Ryan. That's it. He's not Matty Ice. Take that away. Good football player, but he doesn't deserve the nickname Ice. Now, watching that game on television, I wasn't there. I'm happy that the Falcons wear red because we couldn't really see a lot of the red in the stands. But I thought the crowd was an embarrassment. I thought the way it looked on television was an embarrassment. And when you have, you know, Warren Sapp and Derek Brooks and all those guys in the stadium, I remember when I was done playing and I went back into that stadium. I never played at Raymond James. I never played there. But when I went there a couple years after I was done playing, and I was actually sitting in Warren Sapp's suite, and I watched that field and the crowd, I was like, this place is fire. And it's just come such a long way from where it was. Simeon Rice and those guys dancing around the field, and it's come a long way, man. It didn't come a good way either, because it just looked, you know, it looked like everybody was having fun there, but there wasn't enough fire. It used to be back in the day where, you know, that stadium was one of the toughest places to play. You knew it was. You come, you know, you're playing at Raymond James Stadium. That place is going to be loud as hell. And in 2.1 seconds, a defensive lineman is going to be hitting that quarterback. That's it. And the Bucs are going to run the football on you. They're not going to turn the ball over. They're going to play hella defense. And that's what you knew you were coming into. When people come here now, I just don't think they know what the Bucs are all about. I don't think the Bucs know what they're all about anymore. So in this offseason, once again, something's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if the field's going to be different. I don't know if we just start cleaning house. I'm not sure that the salary cap situation, but the Bucks have never spent all their money. They've always had money. And it's got to get to a point now where if it is money, start making some decisions. Because I'm going to make one decision right now. And I'm gonna say the same thing. Like, hopefully I don't sound biased. I think that's possible. Like, say the Rays, okay? Evan Longoria. Evan Longoria is a good baseball player. Is he worth what he's getting paid on a team that doesn't make the playoffs? No. Trade him and get some players. I'm going to say the same thing for Gerald McCoy. You're making that much damn money, and the results are the same whether you're on the field or off the field. Trade him, get some players, and give him to somebody else who thinks he's great, because I don't anymore. I don't. Clinton McDonald, to me, is as good. He makes the same amount of plays, not a lot. But he's where he's supposed to be. He's not getting pushed around. He's a more physical football player. So I think in the long run, that makes you a better football team when you're more physical. I thought the Bucs, as a whole yesterday, were more physical defensively than they had been in a while. Something pissed them off. You know, watching a film of one player getting 253 yards receiving, I think would piss some people off, and I think it pissed some of the Buccaneer players off, and I'm happy about all that. So, two more games left. I don't see a win on. I don't see another win on the schedule. Let's hope the Buccaneers figure out a way to fight. There's a lot of crazy things happening around the NFL, and you know, there's not that much crazy things happening here other than the fact that we're losing. But if you don't talk craziness, you look over there in Carolina with Jerry Richardson, and you know, being on the radio on the Bone. The Bone is not a sports station, so I talk about everything all the time. So we're talking about all these old, crusty, rich pigs that are taking advantage of these women. And this Jerry Richardson dude, it sounds like they just let him just be old, dirty bastard walking around the complex, just commenting on girls' jeans and grabbing on them and just racist stuff all over the place. Boy, when you got billions of dollars, man, you could do whatever the hell you want. But I want you to see the it's disgusting in a lot of ways that we're looking at actors now with athletes, too. Like an athlete doesn't represent anybody. An actor doesn't really represent anybody. To me, I think an owner of a team represents a lot of people. To me. You're an owner. You're supposed to be – everybody's supposed to look up to you. You're supposed to be the one setting a great example. And this is the guy grab-assing all over the place. And you got actors now where there's allegations come up. And the next day, the guy gets fired from everything he's ever done. This Jerry Richardson cat is not only is nothing happening. Nobody's removing him. He's sitting there making oodles of money. Now he's going to have to sell the team. Now – don't say boo frickety who to Jerry Richardson, because he's going to ride off into the sunset. This old dirty clown in 2003 bought the team for $206 million. He's about to get $2.5 billion. So where are they hurting him? Where are they hurting him? They're not hurting him at all. He was allowed to do whatever the hell he wanted to do for all those years. And then at the end of it, he's going to get a big payday to get out and just disappear with his wife or whoever the hell he wants to disappear with. To me, it's backwards, and it doesn't make any sense anymore. But Jerry Richardson's gone. From what I hear, Pete Diddy's trying to put something together to get a team. I think that would be the best thing for the NFL at this moment. If the NFL really cared, and I know they do because they're making lots of money, they care. If they were looking forward to clean some of this stuff up, go make sure P. Diddy puts a team together to buy a team. It will help everybody out. It'll help all those old crusty cats who can't see. They only see something one way. They need a little different blood in there. Something has to happen. Something has to change. And I hope P. Diddy figures out a way to put some people together. Obviously, P. Diddy doesn't have $2.5 billion himself. He's got a billion, but you don't throw all of your billion into a football team. When you go get, there's a bunch of rich people out there. If you approach some rich folks and you say, yo, you know, I need $1 million to invest in a team. The lowest NFL team last year made $300 million. That's the lowest. And it goes all the way up to Dallas making $800 and something million. So you can't lose. You can't lose. Even if nobody comes to see your games, you're going to bring in oodles and oodles of money. So let's see what – I'm going to see what's happening over there at Carolina. I just know the Bucks have two games left. I don't know, man. I don't know. There's crazy stuff happening everywhere. And nothing shocks me anymore. The Glazers won't shock me. I won't allow it. But as a Buck fan, this is a crucial – we always say this is a crucial time in the history of the – this is a crucial time, man, because I don't know if a Buck fan wants to go into next season looking exactly the same and nothing changing. Nothing changes. But when I watch the Bucks play, in a weird way, I see talent out there that's not being utilized. And I don't know if you bring the right people – that know what things look like. I don't know if Dirk Cutter knows what it looks like. And when I say it, I mean, I don't know if Dirk Cutter knows what a championship team looks like. He doesn't know how to build it, okay? Bill Parcells knows what it looks like. Belichick knows what it looks like. He knows what it looks like. You know, Tomlin knows what it looks like. I'm not sure Dirk Cutter does. I'm not sure Jason Light does, because you know, this many years, you can't find me a pass rusher, not one. You can't find one pass rusher in your whole tenure here. Not one. Go find me a gem somewhere, please. But you won't win not rushing the passer. You're just not going to win. Our left tackle, Donovan Smith, I'm going to go out on a limb and say he's the worst one in the NFL. That's not that big of a limb. Oh, by the way, Donald Penn, who we let go years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, he's just about to miss his first regular season game since 07 and played at Pro Bowl level, by the way. So you talk about evaluating talent. That's been the problem here. It's been the problem here. We're not that talented collectively. We have some talented players, but when you put it together, it doesn't look talented. And I don't even know why. Mike Evans is a beast. DeSean Jackson is a beast. I think Jameis can be a beast. O.J. Howard looks like a beast. Cameron Brate, if he's a second tight end, he's the best second tight end in the league. And what does it equate to, though? It doesn't equate to anything. So for some reason, the equation is not working, and I don't know where it goes from here. I wish I knew. I don't. I see some pieces out there, but it's definitely missing something. If you guys want to email me and ask me any questions, you can check me out, Ian Beckles at Radio Influence. I also have another podcast, Flavor in the Year, that comes out Friday morning. If you want to check that out, there's a little bit more pop culture and a little bit more politics. I talk Donald Trump, which is always very, very interesting. It's nice, actually, not to talk about Donald Trump sometimes. But our Buccaneer is just when I signed up to do this podcast, it was exciting. It's still exciting. But I really thought at this time of the year, as Buccaneer fans, we were going to be going through some fun. And during John Gruden Day, you have all the ex-players there, and everybody's talking about playoffs, and that would have been wonderful. But there's always next year, I guess. But going into next year, I'm going to check people, because this year I was optimistic. And I'm not normally optimistic. I was optimistic this year. And next year I'm just going back to realistic. I'm going back to realistic, because if they don't bring some new bodies in here, if they don't bring me a pass rusher, not somebody that I hope is a good pass rusher. Bring me a damn pass rusher. If you don't find me a left tackle, it's going to be a problem. At this point right now, Ali Marpet moving to center was a failure. It was a failure. It didn't equate to anything. You move the guard and put him to center, and it just didn't work. So I don't know how all those things are going to come around next year. But it can't get much worse than it is right now. And then I watched the football team fight last night to lose. And that doesn't turn in anything either. So I'd like to be a fly on the wall at One Buck Place today and listen to the sentiment, whether Dirk Carter is proud of his players or he just pissed off that some of them weren't in the right place at the right time and they didn't figure out a way to win that game. I just don't know what to feel at One Buck Place is anymore. I really don't. It's been wonderful, but we're 4-10 and we got 2 games left, and I don't know. I don't know where it goes from here. But we got 2 more weeks of talking about this, and then it goes into the playoffs, and then it goes into the off season. But football never stops. Football doesn't stop, and it's one in the trenches, which is why I called my podcast that, and we're not good enough in the trenches. So, Jason Light, if you're listening, and if you're still here next year, trenches, baby. Do something in the trenches. That's the only way to get it done. Everybody have a great week, and please be safe. Peace out.
Follow Ian Beckles on Twitter at Ian Beckles for all the latest on your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Here is Kevin Kennedy and Rich Herrera with an Inside the Dugout Quick Fix.
Did you see the picture, Kevin, of Alan Trammell with his travel mates as they landed in Orlando?
No.
Okay. So here's the Jack Morris, who should have been in the Hall of Fame a while ago, tells the story that he's waiting and he's working over at MLB.com and his producer's checking in with him, and they gave him a window of time that they're going to call, and the producer's calling. The window closes and Jack's starting to prepare to be let down once again. And then he gets the call that he's getting in, but he had to keep it to himself and finally was able to tell people that he teared up, and it was an emotional moment having him retell the story in his press conference. And I sat up there in the front row and was like, wow, this
How
is amazing.
Awesome is that?
That was
How
awesome.
Awesome is that?
So
did you see my little tweet on, actually it was a long tweet. I numbered it too. 1, 2, 3 on Alan Trammell, my little story about Alan. Did you happen to see that?
No, no. So let me tell you this.
I'll tell that story in a minute about Alan when I first met him.
Okay. So here's Alan Trammell. He's flying. He lives here in Southern California, right?
Yes.
So he's flying, and on his flight
from San Diego.
So he doesn't live that far from me, I understand. So he's on the Southwest flight out of San Diego to Orlando, right?
Yeah.
Also on that flight is Buddy Black, Bruce Bochy, Trevor Hoffman, John Boggs. There's probably a dozen baseball people on that flight.
John is a big agent in San Diego that's represented many of those guys. Yeah.
So there's a photo in Scott Miller. You know Scott from Bleacher Report. He works with us at Sirius XM.
You bet. Yeah,
so
good guy.
He tweeted this out, and it's a photo of all these guys in the where you pick up your luggage.
Yeah.
So what had happened was, Alan's on the flight. Baggage claim. Alan's on the flight. He's not supposed to say anything. His phone is off. He's just kind of going through everything, and he's waiting and he's waiting and he's waiting. So they get off the phone. They get off the plane, and hey, people ask, did you see anything? Did you hear anything? Did your phone blow up? Nope, nothing. So he's kind of hanging around, because when they land, that's when they're supposed to be either calling him to let him know, or if his phone doesn't ring, he didn't make it. So everybody else is getting their stuff, and he's kind of hemming and hawing, waiting, went to the bathroom and kind of wandered around a little bit and waited. And then finally his phone rings and everybody else is already there. Everybody else is already there waiting at baggage claim. And he comes down to baggage claim and they're all looking, and he gives them a thumbs up, and they all know that he made it. So it was in the photo, it's Osmus, Bud Black, Trammell, Trevor Hoffman, Bruce Bochy. All together, there for that moment. So it was just a great story of him, and then both of them going in as teammates. It was really cool to see.
Inside the Dugout with Kevin Kennedy and Rich Herrera can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.